This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. Let's go. How about this weekend? How about our teams? Astros take another series. That's what they do. Well, two out of three anyway. And the Rockets look awesome. I mean, you know, I was highly doubtful of, you know, they were the fourth favorite coming into this thing. And I'm like, why? I think I was going by how they finished up. They looked really bad the last couple of weeks of the season when before we shut down. I mean, they looked really bad those last four out of five games. I think they lost four out of five to finish up, or they lost four in a row, whatever it was. Anyway, so, but they, I mean, like, whatever. Man, you want to talk about a team against two good teams, Dallas and Milwaukee?
Well, the Dallas game really, like, they pulled that out.
Yeah, they pulled it out.
Midway through fourth quarter. They were losing, and it looked like they were coming up on a loss. And they had some things break their way.
They nutted up.
Yeah, they had some things break their way. They made James had a big three, and Dallas made some mistakes. Houston capitalized. I mean, that one could have easily been the loss. The Milwaukee game, to me, is the one that really is impressive, because not only because Milwaukee has, you know, is a better team, but also because – You got a Rockets team that they got down in the first half. Now, we also know that because of the way that they play, they're prone to, you know, bigger jumps forward and backward. They're prone to plus. They can go plus 18, minus 18 at any point.
Yeah,
that's who they've been since Mike D'Antoni got there.
Right.
I think it's more pronounced now with the bubble, because everything, the tempo is really fast, it seems like. And without all these travel dates, without all these back-to-backs, you got much fresher teams. I don't think that can be underscored. We're seeing some good basketball. We are seeing some really – I thought we would see a lot of bricks and a lot of just not very good basketball and rusty basketball early on. But what's very evident is that because of the lack of travel and because of the lack of back-to-backs and a lot of what has been done with the – you know, with the bubble scenario, we're actually getting some pretty good basketball. And get ready for this, because more and more there's a belief that pandemic is going to turn basketball into bubble basketball next year as well. But it might not be it might not be that bad for the product, to be honest with you. And I think what the Rockets did against Milwaukee in the second half to not only overcome that the deficit in the second quarter, but to take over the lead and then hold it down the stretch, man, that was impressive what they were able to do against a team that knows how to win basketball games. That's a team that they're not a, you know, that's not a team that is, that's not a crazy inconsistent team. They're actually a very consistent team, Milwaukee is.
Mm-hmm. And what Houston was able to do. And by the way, the Rockets have looked poor against Milwaukee the last couple of years.
And they had their issues at times with size in both those games. I mean, there's just no question that there are times when that big giant from Dallas was just picking rebounds over the top of people's heads and just laying it in without even jumping. That was,
like Big Brother, you know, holding the ball over his head. And you're trying to swat at it and can't reach it.
But the Rockets weren't
settling. Brooke Lopez was about the same way, too.
Yeah, Brooke did a lot of that same. He did some of the same stuff to him. We saw Giannis had a four-point play when he had a basket, missed free throw. and one, missed the free throw, tipped back out to him. Another basket. It was a four-point play. But, you know, the real key, I mean, it's easy to just say James this, James that. James was outstanding the other night. But I don't see it feels like the Rockets are more inclined. If you want to give them the lane, they are going to take the lane. And they're going to get into the paint, especially against Dallas. Dallas and Houston was kind of a joke. I mean, it was fun to watch from a point standpoint, but that was atrocious defense. I mean, that was truly god-awful defense on both sides, where they're just letting people walk to the basket. No team, no help side defense.
Looked like an all-star game.
It was just like, I said, it was like rookies versus sophomores when they had that game going on, where it was almost a, listen, I'm going to let you get yours. I'm going to get mine. Let's just see how many points we could score. That's what it looked like for a long time. But, you know, they're getting threes from Ben McLemore when they need it. Covington will come out and step up for a three.
Well, Daniel House played his ass
Daniel
off.
Daniel House had a great quarter.
Maybe he's making himself some play. Maybe he's making himself a playoff guy this year. Hey, and they're doing this without Eric Gordon. Of course, they didn't have Eric Bledsoe, so the two Erics are gone. That's about a wash, depending on how well Eric Gordon is playing.
They're committed to small ball, though. I mean, there's not
no.
They don't have any choice because of their lineup. But I mean, Tyson Chandler, forget it. They are committed, and their roster says they're committed. But Van Gundy talked about it a little bit. The reason they went small ball is to open it up for Russ. They said, look. If we're going to have Russell Westbrook here, we've got to have him driving to the basket. And if we have Clint Capela here, it's going to put a lane clogger around the paint. And they've committed to the small lineup and what it has done. And Van Gundy pointed this out. It's actually been successful. What the Rockets hoped to do was spread the floor so Russ could really take off. And if you think about it, since Clint Capela's been dealt, man, that's when Russ has played his best basketball. Russ has been a major factor. So, you know, I still worry about size. I still worry about the rebounding and things like that. But for these first two games, man, it's been fun to watch the Houston
Rockets. Really fun to watch. Really fun to watch. So that was, that was great last night. That was a great way to finish up the weekend watching that, watching them play as well as they did. Of course, when you're hitting three, listen, that was a question, whether or not they were going to be able to hit threes when they came back. And they shot 34.4. If they shoot 34%, you know, you're going to take it. And it almost seems like, for whatever reason, instead of teams, you know, doing what they do, they try to look, the Rockets tied the record for most of the three-point attempts, right? 61. I think that's the record.
For a regular season, non-overtime game?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
61. It seems like now I would love to see what are the Bucks how many do they shoot a game?
I don't know.
They shot 35. Well, it seems like a lot for them.
I would have to look. I know the Bucks like to give up threes. That's part of their plan. In fact, Giannis talked about it after the game. That's the plan. They've always given up threes. The plan was give threes to the Rockets. And the Rockets, the Rockets are high volume shooters. They shot 61, made 21, so didn't shoot a great percentage, but made enough. I think the Bucks love to shoot threes too. I mean, not to the extent of the Rockets.
Oh, that was actually lower than their average. They shoot 38.
Yeah, they shoot. Yeah, that's what the league is at this point. The Bucks are one of those.
I mean,
they're
the two top.
But without Bledsoe, though. Without Bledsoe, though.
The bigger issue was you look at the 3-point shooters. The Bucks only shot 26% or so. Only made nine. Like Wesley Matthews, DiVincenzo. Their backcourt was terrible.
DiVincenzo stunk.
He was not good.
They combined for 12 points. I mean, in general, I didn't think he was good.
I mean, yeah, overall, he wasn't good. 12 points overall for the backcourt. So the backcourt didn't have a great game. And that's where the Rockets are going to dominate most teams. But the Bucks would have liked to at least make that more even, and it wasn't even close.
Look at the plus-minus in that game, though. Everybody except Covington was a minus on the Rock as a Rockets starter. And the bench was plus 13, plus 14, plus 14. While everybody except Covington, who was a plus 2, so that was huge, huge bench contribution last night for the Rockets. And yeah, DiVincenzo was bad. He was 1 for 6 from 3, 4 for 10 for the game.
Okay, so league average for three is 35.7%. That's what the league average is. Rockets shoot at, I mean, we know they shoot a ton. They shoot at 34.9%. I think the Rockets, if they can shoot 36%, which is a big deal. I mean,
that's a big jump.
It sounds like a small jump, but like big deal. It's 1 point.
No, it's a big jump.
It's 1 point. No, it's a big jump. Yeah. It is over the sample size. But now we're in a smaller sample size now. If they can shoot it at about a 36% clip, which is, I mean, that would put them in the top. I'd put them in Texans territory. It put them right there at the halfway. It put them at number 15. So they'd be, you know, halfway in the league, which I call Texans, just middle of the league in statistics. If they could do that, I think it really gives them a major, major chance to be a significant factor in the Western Conference. I know I love all this stuff, but it's always like, can you beat Kawhi when you have two guys, Paul George and Kawhi, that can defend James? what's going to happen. But, you know, Russell Westbrook, James's ability and willingness to defer, this cannot be understated. This cannot be overstated, I should say. James's willingness and ability to defer when he needs to Russell Westbrook is a major, major potential factor in their ability to get wins that you don't expect. Because most superstars are like, I got to take over. This is my team. And we've seen James do that before. But James showed a willingness at times when they won 65 games to let Chris Paul do his thing mm-hmm. when he needed to. I think he has even more respect for the game of Russell Westbrook and the ability of Russell Westbrook to take over games with his athleticism. And just like yesterday, we saw it at times yesterday where James wasn't forcing the action. We saw that there were times where he wasn't forcing action. Now, he's so good off the dribble. We already know that. But Russ is unbelievably explosive off the dribble. So if they can click their three-point percentage up, you know, over 35% in this pandemic ball, I think this – I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
You know, last night was 34%. I thought it was great. I mean, James could shoot better. He was 3 of 12. You know, but James gets in. James does that.
How many free throws
PJ Tucker, he ended up with 13. PJ Tucker was bad from the corner. He was just missing shot after shot. He finally knocked one down later. You know, between the two of them, that's 6 for 24. That's 25%. The other guys picked it up. I don't know that Daniel House is going to go 50%, 4 for 8. Russ is still, he took a couple that you're like, ugh, but he was just 1 of 3 from 3. He's self aware now.
He's six threes in the last two games.
He's self-aware. I'm fine with Russ shooting three.
I'll take three. Three's better than six.
You know what he was doing earlier?
Yeah. He's like, let me fit in with some of this Rockets ball.
Yeah.
Like shooting it off like a bottle rocket with no control. Like, oh, no, this isn't your game.
Well, Jeff Green was on fire for a while.
But, I mean, credit to Daryl and Mike D'Antoni and whoever was making this decision. Because, look, I didn't love getting rid of Clint Capella from what he, you know, he is a guy who can rebound and block shots. But I think there's a mentality with Daryl that I don't have personally. It's that blackjack mentality of he's willing to take certain chances. And he just basically said, look, we've got a guy in Russell. And I don't know how much of this is Daryl. I mean, Daryl made the trade, but I don't know how much of this is Mike D'Antoni or what. But for them to say, well, we've got a big who can rebound, who can block shots, who can catch lobs and dunks. And Clint Capella has been who can run the high screen and roll stuff with James. Clint Capella has been a major factor for the Houston Rockets. He got better every single year. I mean, he was turning into a good basketball player. They paid him. Once it was time, they paid him. And then the Rockets said, you know what, let's just do something very out of the ordinary in going with the small ball lineup because this will benefit Russell Westbrook. And for me, I would have said, man, I don't know if I'm doing all this for Crazy Russell. And Crazy Russell had some terrible turnovers yesterday. There were times yesterday where I was like, what is Russell doing? This is why Russell can't be your primary ball handler all the time for a team. Just too many mistakes. But that decision to open the floor up is basically saying, if we want to win a championship, we got to get the most out of James and the most out of Russ, and this is our chance to do it. And that's ballsy to go with a 6'7" and under lineup.
Yeah.
That's ballsy.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't do something like that.
So the stream is down. Everybody's tweeting. Del, what's the Twitch? How do you get to it?
Well, you can just type in ESPN 975 Twitch, and that link will come up. And so you can go there. ESPN 975, then add it Twitch after that. It'll come up. You can find it'll be the first link. And the stream is probably about 3 minutes away from coming.
So by the time we get back?
Yeah.
So by the time we get back, we'll have the stream up. So everybody out there that's tweeting and whatnot. That's why I told everybody for now. So we're going to have the stream back. You can still Twitch, though, whatever you want to do. In the meantime, let's get some testosterone.
Miss T Clinic is your spot for that. And look, if your testosterone levels are down, it is a problem. And it's a problem because what happens is you end up finding out that your lean muscle mass changes drastically. And you start having belly flab where you didn't have it before. Your workouts, you're not getting the same benefit from your workouts. Energy level drops like crazy. And I think most importantly, your quality of life really diminishes when your testosterone drops, and you don't notice anything like that. But when you're in your 20s or your 30s, it's, you know, that's your norm. However you feel is your norm, including that libido level. And once you get into your 40s or 50s, or sometimes it can be 60s, it happens at different times for different men. You do see a drop in quality of life because of some of those areas I just talked about. Men's T Clinic, they want to test you. They get results within minutes, and they can get you a tailor-made program of testosterone treatment that is going to be right for you. It's safe. They monitor it. They test you at different times to find out where your levels are, and you're going to see a big benefit. Most people see a benefit in energy within the same week that they start. That's what happened for me. Make sure that you go to menstclinic.com, get your questions answered online there. And when you're ready, stop in at one of their locations to find one nearest you. And they also have locations in the Dallas area if you got friends or family up there. menstclinic.com.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have three-layer nano-silver protection. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPNHouston for 20% off. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so I talked mostly Rockets in the first segment. Our Astros, man, I just feel bad. Altuve just looks lost at the plate. Springer looks lost at the plate. Bregman, he came up with a big hit yesterday. And actually, he came up with a base knock that scored the run. But he's really, really struggled so far. Brantley, Correa, they have gotten off. Maldonado gotten off to nice starts. Josh Reddick has looked okay. And, oh, Yuli looks good. Yuli's always Yuli. He's a professional hitter. But for the most part. Toro looks bad. No, Toro's lost. Kyle Tucker looks lost at times, and then he looks great at other times. Actually, you're not doing the catcher position, which was thought to be the weakest position. What is the weakest position on the team is actually not doing too bad. Maldonado's come up with some hits. Garneau doesn't look all that bad. Stubbs is doing okay. Actually, it's not so bad. Here is where I'm going to tell you what is Blake Taylor.
God almighty.
Is he something?
Do you remember?
You know, he came over in the Mariznick trade.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
I'm going to take you back to Pulp Fiction for a second. Because as I'm watching him on Saturday and then Sunday, all I can think of, and this is like four times already where he's punched somebody out to end an inning and gives you that big fist pump. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they're just frozen pizza. They're just sitting there, and he sneaks a fastball. Like I don't. It must come from a weird angle or something because guys, they get locked up with him for some reason. And it doesn't look like his stuff. He's got good breaking pitch. He keeps his fastball down. But all I could think of it's like by the end of after yesterday, all I could think of was what did Jules have that they stole from him out of the diner. Do you remember?
The suitcase?
No.
The briefcase?
Honey Bun. No, there was something else that he had. When Honey Bun and what's her name? The two, yeah. they stole something else. He wanted it back, and it was inside of a bag.
I don't remember.
It was a wallet. What's your wallet look like? It's a wallet that says Bad Mother Bleeper on it. And all I could think of was Blake Taylor carries a Bad Mother Bleeper wallet with him because that's who he is and that's how he is. And I swear all I could think of was this guy is the one who walks around with a Bad Mother
wallet. Doesn't he seem like he's a weightlifter. He's a heavy weightlifter.
He's put together.
Yeah, well. he's exceptionally large in his chest and shoulders.
He's a compact for a pitcher. Guy. Yeah, he's a compact guy. Works at about can get it to about 93. You know, solid fastball. Not considered a plus fastball in today's age. Solid fastball, but man, he throws pitches for strikes. When he wants, it seems like location comes easily for him, at least from what we've seen so far. I mean, Blake Taylor, what is this? Now all of a sudden, when Blake Taylor's coming out, I feel good.
No, he and a scrub.
Yeah, I don't feel as good when scrub comes in.
I don't know.
It's going to be impossible to feel good about scrub.
What's his ERA, Lance?
Well, scrub had to be rescued yesterday.
He's a scrub. What's his ERA, Lance?
I don't know. 12?
Zero.
I know, but yesterday, that's because Blake Taylor saved him.
He got two walks.
Well, one was an intentional.
Oh, by the way, thank you to that umpire, because if Garneau, that the base is loaded, and Tucker and who was Mayfield both struck out early in the game, and then Garneau comes up. Ohtani's lost. He's just lost. He walked five guys that inning, and he's going to get an MRI today, as a matter of fact.
They can't. Yeah, that's a problem. This is two outings.
And here's the thing, is they're only pitching him on Sundays, so he can't. You know what? I don't think that's, you know, they're trying to save him, but I'm not sure that that is great for a pitcher's arm. In that, you know, you'd rather like to get into a rhythm and pitch more than that. He's lost up there.
Well, there may be something else going on with him.
Well, he obviously had the Tommy John, so that's, you know, they couldn't.
I mean, the MRI,
they want to bring him along slowly.
There might be a physical issue more than a mental, or just a rust issue. We'll see. I don't care. I mean, be terrible.
Big ups to Fromber. 8 strikeouts, 6 1/3, 5 hits. He didn't give up no runs, no earned runs after Josh James struggled.
Josh Jones is now just an opener. Josh James is an opener, and Fromber was. That looked like, unintentionally, what we used to see from the Rays. Basically, Josh, get as many innings as you can, and then we're going to go to our real starter, Fromber. And Fromber will take it from there. That's what it felt like. Is that such a bad thing?
No.
I brought it up last week. I typically kind of scoff at that stuff, but when you think about how much the bullpen's going to have to be used, why not try to just get through a couple innings with an opener and then have your Frombers? Not necessarily with, well, I mean, if Verlander's out, you got McCullers. I mean, honestly, I don't even think it's that crazy. I actually get it now. I kind of understand it now. But we got to say this now. What's Dusty doing? What is Dusty doing? Every game I'm saying this to myself. I love that Dusty told that little bleeper to get back on the mound. Mm-hmm. That's great and all that. But the baseball stuff has just not been very good. They finally talked about it on national broadcast the other day about the bunting when he's in the bottom half of the inning. And then they talked about it yesterday with Blum and Todd Callis. And I'll say this for that broadcast crew. You know, Blum basically made a point for non-bunting that when you sack fly like Carlos Correa did, that's like a big bunt. You know, a man or he said major league hitters should be able to hit behind a runner, and so why bunt when you have a chance to stack an inning? That's fine. I get that. When you're by the bottom of the inning and you only need one run, though?
When you're in the bottom of the – that's what I've been saying. I was had an argument – not an argument, but this guy's like – well, the Astros, they don't bunt. They should have won 3 games. I was like, no, first of all, no. Secondly, it's at home. When you're in extra innings at home and you hold the other team to without a run, you only need one run. Bunt him to third. Bunt him to third. What are you doing?
Depending
what happened
on
to
the
regular
hitter.
Baseball? What happened to good, solid, that's smart baseball? Get a runner at third with one out and then hit a fly ball.
So I figured out. So one of the reasons you say what happened to that. Batter hitters are better. Lineups are deeper.
Anymore.
Well, lineups are also deeper. Like, there's a chance for Yuli to bunt the other day. Are you letting I don't want Yuli bunting.
Well, but
the Astros have a better lineup.
Well,
too.
Here's the deal, though. The other day, it was Toro at the plate.
Now, Toro should have been bunting.
Toro's got a bunt with first and second and nobody out, and you only need one run. Bunt.
Yeah, I was surprised about that. Now, if he lays down a bunt, then you just intentionally walk the next guy, and you set up double play.
You set up a double. That's fine. You're going to set up a double play no matter what, even if the runner's on third and nobody. Yes, you set up the double play, but you also only need a fly ball.
But you can also bunt for a base hit if you're a guy like Toro. Yeah. You can also try to lay one of those.
Well, they're going to be coming in. The other team thinks you might bunt.
No, they can't by now.
Well, right. I mean, the first baseman is playing back on the dirt, and the second baseman is in right field.
They're doing big pull shifts.
I mean, like. Come on,
guys. If they're doing a big pull shift on you, you can do it. But no, I'm in favor of depending on who the hitter is. I don't want Yuli. I don't want any of the, you know, the big hitters bunting. I get that. But there is just a an ideology that, look, you can move runners over just by putting it in play. Why give up the automatic out? And I get it, but I do think there are times where it needs to be in more consideration than they give it. Now, the other problem is Dusty with the pitchers going that deep with Fromber and not even having anybody get
even Blum said.
Yeah, Blum had to say something like,
it's surprising no one is warming up in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
What? What? Dude has thrown 80, 78 pitches, whatever, and you don't have anybody warming up? Goodness. Now, it didn't take long. Fromber, he got in some trouble, so they pulled him. But my goodness, dude. You want to talk about staying?
Well, the game could have been over by the time they pulled him, though. There was a man on second. Like, yeah. It's the extra innings. There's a man on second. One base hit could... Actually, the Astros had a lead. No. I'm trying to remember. Did they... No, not yesterday. So it was 4-4. So no. They made it 5-5. That's right. They had a lead. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Fromber, they got their run. But Fromber's sitting because it was Fromber's
that's
run.
That's not an earned run because he's put on second base, so it wasn't. It's
but that
not
was
against
Fromber's
him,
run.
But so it's Fromber's
you
own.
You couldn't even if something had happened where it got out of control. They weren't. They got scrub up, and he wasn't even ready by the time that they could have gone to him. Fromber had to keep going because scrub wasn't even ready. Like that's, I mean, come on. Come on, Dusty. This is basic like blackjack rules. You just follow certain rules.
Well, somebody said, well, he's pitching well. What are you got to get more innings. Not when you, if you get 70 pitches and no earned runs from Fromber, you take that and go, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Now let's put in Blake Taylor or a scrub or a scrub.
I don't think
Andre
he
scrub.
Likes being called
I like to call
a
him
scrub.
A scrub. I like to call him a scrub. Well, that's his name. A scrub.
It doesn't make me feel good. And the Astros are going to be bringing a scrub in. Here comes the scrub.
Well, yeah, he's the scrub. He's the scrub. There's nothing you can do about it. It's a 729 ESPN 97.5. That's a little jab. I know. It was a little jab at him.
Well, it's site jab is what we're talking about here. It was not a jab necessarily at him. It was a jab at your website. If your website's garbage. If your website's trash, as my kids call everything, this website's trash. And there are a lot of trash websites out there. It's kind of hard to believe that there are businesses who you have to know that your website's not good. It doesn't give great information. It's not aesthetically pleasing. It doesn't allow a visitor to have the ability to interact with you the way that they need to get the information. Or maybe there's just not good information out there. My good friends over at SiteJab, they've been in this business for over 2 decades. They're local. I love these guys. They build great websites. They can customize a website for you in 3 to 6 weeks, and they can also work on your website and work with you on it, either in Zoom or in person if you want. They can handle all the socially distanced, you know, protocols and make sure that they do that. Most of it can be done online, but the main thing is you stay involved in the process of building that website. Go to sitejab.com. Take a look at all of the web design features they have and the services. You can find out more about them. You can even schedule your consultation, and you're going to find a local company that does phenomenal work, and they have examples of their work right there on the website. Hey, start to convert those eyes into business leads if you're a small to medium-sized business, and do it just like we do it with SiteJab. SiteJab.com. That's SiteJab.com.
More talk, less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
We are here for you.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
These guys battled, and they battled over there. It was a good game. I mean, man, you know, we left more men on base early in the game than law allows. I think we left like 13 or 14. We couldn't get anybody. And then once we start getting them, then it seems like everybody was on the hit parade, so we got some great work out of our bullpen. I mean, Fromber was unbelievable. I mean, he held on big scrub, came in, threw strikes, and then Taylor, he's probably on fumes, but that was his first major league win, and I love giving those cards away to those guys on their first win or their first saves.
There's Dusty. Yeah, Fromber was. How about he calls him big scrub? I like that. I like that, you big scrub. No. Listen, that's not disrespectful. Dusty calls him, that's his nickname, Big Scrub. Okay? That's what we do.
That's not what you said.
Yeah.
You
or said, we could call him Scrubbo.
You said, hey, Scrub. That's what you call him.
There's no good way around the last name Scrub. Yeah. Big Scrub.
Big Scrub. Garbage.
But there's no one.
Trash.
There's no one named Garbage.
Astros going out to get the Big Scrub.
Like, yeah. Oh, look at in Florida, we got Kyle Trash. We got Big Scrub.
Not trash.
Well, I'm sure a Florida State fan will call him that at some point.
At some point.
Georgia fan, too.
Man, that's a good name. Because that's a good sports name. A scrub. I'm looking at Josh James last year. Listen, when he throws one inning, not talking about the postseason, in the regular season, one inning, no runs. One inning, no runs. No runs. No runs. No runs. He had one outing. He didn't get an out. And he gave up four runs. One inning, no runs. Two innings, a run. Josh James, when he pitches more, for the most part, when he pitches more than an inning, he's given it up. He's got two innings and gave up nothing. An inning and a third, he gave up four. Two innings, nothing, two innings, nothing, two and a third, three runs, two innings, none, three innings, none, two innings, none, two innings, three, two innings, none, two innings, two innings, one. Let him fire 100 miles an hour, come in for an inning, be your eighth inning guy. That's okay. That's what Josh James is. We're trying to make him a starter. This ain't happening. Josh James, if he goes to second, even when by his third inning, Josh James is effective. And if you look at his fastball now, he ain't throwing it up at 98, 99.
No.
So that's why he's effective, because he can throw near 100 miles an hour. But when he's starting, he's laying off of it. He can't expend all that energy like he can in one inning. So he's not built to be a starter. He's an eighth. He's Octavio Dotel.
I don't trust him. I don't trust him that late in games right now because his control's not great. That's what I'm saying. I don't hate the idea of using him as an opener. I really don't. I don't hate it. If you get two innings out of him, great. Two innings is fantastic, especially if you're going James from
anything more than an inning out of this dude. I'm telling you.
I know it could be.
Chances are.
A problem. But what's the difference in getting an inning out of him in the sixth or seventh than an inning out of him in the first? If he's going to be okay in an inning, I'd rather it be, look, if he gives up a couple runs, you can go get him. And it's not too late in the first inning. If he gets in trouble, just go get him. And it's not too late. You have eight innings, nine innings to make up that deficit potentially. You're not going too late in the games if he explodes and doesn't have his control and puts men on base. So, I don't know. He clearly has not. There's never been a time where he showed that he had the stuff to be a starter. When I say stuff, I mean the ability to get deep into games. Never have we seen it. Forever you've been making the comment, Josh James, once he gets past the first inning, that's been the thing forever for him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who he is. That's what he is.
It is. It's what
he's
he do.
Dotel. Without as much movement on his pitches, you know, work on polishing his second and third pitch. Let him go in a short period of time so he can. It needs to be a sprint and not a marathon for him. Let him throw as hard as he needs to throw. That's the Josh James that we need in this city.
Yeah, just let him. Let's
not
let him.
Starter Josh James. No,
no
thanks.
No. Starter Josh James is not a thing. It's just not a thing. Opener, okay.
If you want to do opener, that's fine.
One inning, let him face the top of the order. That's going to be the toughest guys in the lineup.
I'd give him I'd run him back out there for the second. Mm-mm. If he gets in trouble, you can go get him.
Mm-mm. That's just dangerous.
I know.
To me, that's just dangerous. Let the dude. No, because if he knows he's going more than one, he's going to ease up on his fastball because he thinks, I can't expend all that energy. Okay. Let him go out, fire 100 miles an hour, and then come sit down. That's great. That's all. And plus, you've got 17 pitchers now. You take advantage of it while you got all these guys in the bullpen. Don't throw Fromber for 88 pitches. Man.
Well, that's just asking too much of him. You got to.
And then we're on short rest, too.
When you got five out of Fromber?
Yeah.
That was great.
That was plenty. That was plenty. Take what you got. Go home with some money. You know what? When you're playing poker and you go up about 1,000, you know, and the pots are getting big, you're like, you know what? I'm going to go home with some money today.
The worst thing you can do is when you're at a casino, it's the same concept of,
yeah,
wow, I'm in good shape right now. I could go to bed right now. Or it's always I could go to bed right now. And
or
be
double up.
Or I could just keep going. And when you just keep going and you push your luck, eventually you're going to give up a run. Mm-hmm. Eventually in the casino, you're going to give up that run and then have to hang on with Blake Taylor getting another big out for you.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened.
Well, you're catching a six with 14. That's what you're going to have to do.
And then it ended up going over 10.5 total runs.
And you were happy?
That's what
you were saying?
That's just what happened.
I'm just
giving you a fact.
Yes. No, that was
10.5.
That was a fact.
And then Dusty helped it go over.
Yeah.
With some of his decision making.
It was so hard to concentrate. What with
your guy,
Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, Daniel Berger, all at the top of the leaderboard. I had them all in my fantasy.
See?
Daddy cashed a check yesterday. Well, Oh, yeah. Dell, did you ever win? Did you ever win your fantasy league?
So let me ask you.
For that week? No.
I don't know if I can find anything I care less about than either you winning money or golf. I don't know which one, but you combine the two,
yeah,
and there's nothing that tops it.
It's not your money anymore.
That's the least care you have.
Yeah, you winning money
you
plus
didn't win
it,
money.
You winning you, it in golf. Why would I care?
You just want a chance to buy Wendy something.
Yeah.
Ooh, well, yeah. Now you're bringing reality into the equation.
No. It's her birthday week.
Oh,
the money is right out the door.
Oh, and then some. And then some.
You won golf. Great.
Congratulations.
Just sign it over.
I got to win this week.
Just sign the check over as soon as you get it.
When your boys gave you the money or were they about to, do they just write for Fendi purchase?
on the bottom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Fendi.
Well, that's how they Venmo them. Here, Venmo-y, and they just put a purse.
For Fendi shoes.
Shoes or a purse.
She wants a backpack. You know how much these things cost?
Or not shoes. Fendi makes bags and other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
She wants to be in her bag.
Mm. Yeah. That's what she wants. 740 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776.
You want something else maybe? Like let's go through a list and I'll decide which one. Why don't you play that game? Like, give me five choices.
No. What do you think?
Because that backpack might not be the highest. I know. No choices is going to be great, but at least you get to make a choice.
There's not going to be anything that I'm like, oh, that'll be cheap. There's nothing.
But at least you can have some form of control over it.
Yeah. Did you see this kid? This guy's teaching him how to swing.
Yeah. that was so stupid.
And the ball's on the tee, and the kid just swings away, hits him right in the chest.
Did you see the other one where the dad is sitting? It couldn't be more than 6 feet away, and he's throwing soft toss to the kid hitting, and there's nothing between them, and the kid's just spraying it all over the place. The dad has no fear. He's throwing it to his son like, rip
leagues?
It.
League balls?
You can't tell. And somebody just says, boy, this dad has no fear of this kid's bat. this kid obviously can't hit. The dad's right in front of him, facing him like a pitcher.
Here, kid.
And sitting on a bucket.
I saved Dell's job yesterday. Did you see that, Dell?
No. What happened?
No.
He just lied again.
That's not true.
When you guys were going through your nerd out about Dusty and leaving guys in too long. Oh my gosh. I was the angst in that group chat. Then John tweets out about Dusty and someone goes, hindsight. And John goes, no, I said it. This is what I wrote to my boys. And then the guy goes, screenshot. John's like, sorry, I said what I said. And if I screenshot it, there's things in there that'll get Dell fired.
That's all right.
Meanwhile,
how come you never even commented on our baseball?
Because I don't care about you guys.
Raheel was there.
CJing about Dusty.
What?
Why don't you guys?
We didn't CJ.
Oh, Dusty! I can't believe he's doing this. I don't care.
Don't you have? Don't you have a? We're trying to get back at all the people who say the Astros are cheaters. You're on our team.
You're Astros Tech now.
Hashtag Astros.
You know what? To be fair, it was only three of you, so it's more like a C triangle. What you guys are doing. Oh, Dusty, I can't believe the Frambers.
It's a TJ. And it's not a TJ.
It's not a circle triangle.
It's a triangle.
No, you're right. It's a triangle J. Yeah, I was like, all right.
That's not what it is.
Yes, it was.
It's just good baseball talk.
Oh, my gosh, Dusty, I can't believe what he's doing.
It's just good baseball talk is what it is.
It's what it is.
Oh, my gosh.
Why don't you come in and say, I think he should go to, Paredes. You could have jumped in with something.
Yeah.
Why would I do that?
No. Be someone, Dell.
No, please don't.
Be someone. It's right there on the overpass.
Please do me a favor and don't say go to Paredes, okay? Do me that favor right now.
What you guys don't know is as much as you love these two clowns, when it comes to, they're like little guys wearing skirts when it comes to their baseball.
Mm-hmm. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Dusty Thomas getting a free ball.
What? No, we're talking baseball. That's what you do, Del.
That's what you do, Del.
You talk about
manager
moves.
That's what guys do.
60 pitches, 70 pitches. I can't believe what's going on out there.
That's not how we're doing it. I don't like your new voice at all.
You know what it is?
This is a
man,
bad
come
new
on,
voice.
Dusty. Let's go, take Dusty. Him out, Dusty.
You know how bad it was?
Pull your head out of your ass, Dusty.
I put the group chat on Do Not Disturb. I was like, I can't do this anymore.
What? Put it back on.
Take your skirts off. Put some pants on.
Put it back on.
Wow, what a sexist.
You're not an ally.
We're thinkers. You're not deep enough. You're not deep enough for baseball.
Yeah. No, you're right. I'm not too shallow. I'm not deep enough to yell.
Yeah.
To yell at a manager.
Too shallow.
By the way, that's very deep.
Thank me for saving your job.
For what?
Just thank me.
I didn't say a word. I don't have to thank you because I wasn't involved.
So, you know what's going on right now? More hurricanes. Is South Carolina in the crosshairs?
Florida didn't really get popped very much, but South Carolina might see some flood watch.
Here's the deal, the MMA law firm is here for you right now. Think about it. It is coming. The season is here. When anything happens, God forbid, but if it does, you keep the MMA law firm in mind. LargeLossAttorneys.com. Dram Shop, pharmaceutical law, medical devices, serious personal injury, 18-wheeler injury. Look, these guys all day, they specialize in handling insurance claims. Now, insurance companies that have unreasonably denied the coverage you already have purchased are acting in bad faith. You could be entitled up to 3 times your damage amount. This is kind of a big deal. If you're dealing, or you will be dealing with an insurance company and they're acting in bad faith, you call these guys. There is a free, thorough consultation, no obligation consultation with the experts, and they don't take a dime until you win. And then their payment will come from the recovery, not out of your pocket. No settlement, no fees. LargeLossAttorneys.com. That's LargeLossAttorneys.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, 747 ESPN 97.5, very much so. So, college football is in danger. The Pac-12, there is a player group that's threatening to opt out, and they have a list of demands. Some of them, they want player safety, okay?
Understandable.
Yep, and I get that. They want to fight racial injustice. I don't know how the Pac-12 can go about that, but I don't know. They want to secure economic rights and fair compensation, which they say is 50% of the profits.
And it's over.
And that's all.
It's not feasible. It's not feasible. It's not logical. They're not a professional.
And on top of they want the 50%, they want to protect all sports and obtain long-term health insurance.
None of those. The last three, you can't do. You're not doing a BR.
What about 6-year scholarships instead of 5 if they knew?
They want to keep programs from going away.
Right.
I'm sorry, but universities
and then and they want 50% of the profits.
Well, which makes it you basically will wipe out every program.
Not only, I mean, there's schools that can't do it now, let alone taking 50% of the profits.
Yeah.
So
this is very ill-conceived. Look, you know what it is? It's a leverage play.
That's all.
It's like, we got a chance. We're going to leverage this against you. And the universities just cannot financially, if you read up at all on this situation of what's going on, they can't possibly do this.
Yeah, and Mark Emmert is just making it worse. He goes to Congress last week, right? And he says, we got to stop all these states from what? Just let the kids use their likeness. Let the market dictate how much they make. Don't pay them. Let the market pay them. So now they're actually being compensated, Mark Emmert. Why do you care if a car dealer pays this kid? The car dealer's already paying the kid. Why do you care if they do it out in the open and the kid has to pay taxes on it now? Okay, because he's going to have to pay taxes
on
it now.
You've got stipends. A lot of people don't realize that.
Players get stipends.
There is money.
Yes, there's money.
And in some cases, it might be more than you think. And maybe it's less than you think, but I think it's probably a little more than you think. There are players being paid under the table. I know some of the numbers of some of the quarterbacks, and I was shocked. Honestly, I thought the numbers were unbelievably high, but I think one of the reasons the illegal payments are getting higher and higher is because that's what the market will bear because of how much. But I'm in favor of, I just don't think college head coaches should be making this much. I just don't. I think that you, on the professional level, I get it. And it's hard to argue. You have to be consistent. If you argue that players should not be getting compensation when they are, because they are compensated in the term, whether you like it or not, $100,000 is now on the low end to go to a lot of the colleges that are out there. And so when you get that scholarship, you're not being taxed on that or anything like that. There is some compensation in that. I understand people make the case that that's not value. It has tremendous value to a lot of people, especially who can't get into colleges anymore. It's hard to get into a college for a lot of people, at least the colleges they want to get to, because you're down to the 6% rule for a lot of people. If you're not in the top 6% or you don't score something, you don't have a chance. So you can't just completely say, no, there's no value in this college scholarship, when we know you can look at economic studies and show that there is value.
Well, there's absolute value.
And there's also value in postgraduate studies as well.
Now, if a player gets injured, then they should be, then the school should take care of them. There's no question about that. And even if they need surgery, a couple of years later.
That is
the case, though. Their insurance, they do have the insurance. But a lot of times, like years after you're done, maybe not so.
Yeah.
So that's where you got to be able to take care of those kids. And those, if it's a long term injury, then they need to be taken care of.
Can I tell you what the really sneaky, scary thing is right now about college football and really just everything? Is the study that came out. So the Eduardo Rodriguez thing is very scary, and I'll tell you why. Because this is a 20-something year old pitcher who ended up having a heart condition, what's it called, myocarditis or whatever, the inflammation around the heart, and this is due to COVID. Well, a study came out that showed, at least in Italy, there was a much higher percentage of issues with the heart for people who had COVID than they expected, much higher. And now one of the new concerns is that, you truly don't know the long-term effects of anything yet, because we haven't, you can't know until long-term has passed. And so if that's the case, if there's a concern, he opted out of baseball. Eduardo Rodriguez opted out of baseball. If more people deal with heart issues, and if baseball is seeing a rapid spread of COVID potentially through any contact with the Marlins, and that's a minimum contact sport, you really...
Yeah,
that seems like it should be the safest of all the team sports. Football is the exact opposite.
Well, but right. The safest is the bubble. Anybody who's in a bubble.
Right.
Which so is, that's by far the safest.
No one, because my wife did ask me, my wife was like, why can't they do long-term health stuff? I said, because colleges, that's a federal thing. That's not going to be on the collegiate level. If you want to do something like that and provide... I'm not saying I understand if there's concerns about long-term ramifications for health for players, it's not crazy to say, well, then if we have long-term health ramifications and we're playing for the so that future generations of athletes can still have scholarships and still have programs available to them, and so that universities can keep running, well, then we shouldn't have to worry about our long-term health care.
No, no.
If there is an issue.
Here's the deal, though. And we're talking about this like this is a one-time thing. These student-athletes now, I'm telling you, it won't be long before Northwestern tried to do it, where they took them to court and they tried to get
unionize.
Uh-huh. It's not going to be long. Now the Pac-12, they've got a whole group together. Schools are joining in now. I don't think it's going to be long before before all of college football is going to go, here's our demands. Otherwise, because and guess what? Coaches are going to be like, all right, because I'm making $10 million a year. I don't give a rat's ass. I don't do what you know what? We need players.
Yeah. It doesn't help the argument that when Larry Scott's making $5.3 million a year. Now, he is the Pac-12 commissioner. Of course, somebody from Congress has jumped on. He tweeted out that if Larry Scott reduces salary to $450K, which is still top 1% of the country, every Pac-10 football player, or 12, he should have said 12, could get an annual $5,000 stipend, help their families with rent, health care, food, et cetera. So if they look up and say, what is Larry Scott making? Because he negotiates a couple deals, players are going to like, what the hell? And by the way, have we seen any spread from team to team? Because we keep talking about baseball has the lowest ability in terms of spreading it. Have we seen spread from team to team yet? Has it always been inter-team? Or intro, whatever the word is.
No, that's what the concern was, that you had the spread from the Marlins initially. Was it ever proven that there was spread from the Marlins? Because the latest yesterday was that they're thinking, okay, in our contact tracing, we're thinking maybe it didn't come from the Marlins.
And the Phillies, it turns out that those two clubhouse people were false positives, I think I saw.
Wasn't it the Marlins are the ones that went to the bar, was it
allegedly
a topless bar?
Allegedly, and now there's...
Now the Cardinals have also, it's been...
Allegedly a casino. Jerry Hairston Jr.
Right.
said he heard they went to a casino. But I haven't heard any... Oh, the Marlins played this team, so now they have it. I haven't seen the spread from team to team yet.
No, not in baseball. In baseball, there shouldn't be any.
There should never be any.
The first baseman should wear a mask. That's all, because he's the only one that's close to a guy for any amount of time.
Well, catcher and hitter.
Yeah, but they're not. No,
or catcher, umpire. Well, you're not far from him. They turn and look down. You're not. You're inside of 6 feet.
Yeah, I guess maybe a catcher. Yeah, you know what? And I've seen catchers with the mask on. I got a text from Patrick Chastang. Why is it always car dealers that are paying the players money?
Well,
it is true.
He makes a point. Hey, why are we the guys?
I think that started with Oklahoma. Who's the quarterback that got, remember?
Jamel Holloway?
No. Big white kid, big strong white kid.
Troy Aikman.
No. Remember?
Troy Aikman was
He got paid by the car dealer and had to sit. Oh, man, who was it? I forget. Anyway. I don't know why it's always a car. What are you going to say? A roofer? What are you going to say?
Why can't a tech company be doing it now?
No. What are you going to say? Who else?
Why can't Microsoft be
paying
players?
It's got to be a car dealer. Who else could it be?
Because we think young people want cars, so that's the correlation.
Oh, by the way, guess what? A lot of cars went to young people back in the day.
It's not just the money from the car dealer. It's the actual merchandise.
Yeah.
The actual car.
That too, Patrick? I know you wouldn't do that, but you know.
Who's he root for?
UMH. He's a huge UVH guy.
Well, they probably don't get the level.
Couldn't hang on to De'Aaron King.
Well, you see?
People didn't step up.
See, and that's why.
And they lost Jared Williams, too.
Yeah. That's why Patrick's going, I'm clean over here, okay? I'm clean. Can we stop saying that? That's right. Maybe dirty it up a little. Keep some guys, Patrick. Let's go. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. I want to talk about Lance Loken and his group. Listen, if you're ready for a bigger new home, Lance is your agent. Donnie and Tina had lived in their home for over 20 years. They had to get out. They wanted to cut. Just 3 days, 9 showings. The home sold for $6,500 over list price. And you're right, once sold $6,500 over. That's huge, people. Because usually when you put your house for sale, you're going to ask for, let's try and get this. Well, if you put out your first price and you go $6,500 over that, that's incredible. And listen, Lance says this. I'll give you an immediate cash offer. The Loken Group at Keller Williams Platinum says, we'll buy your house right now. No showing, skip the prep, all that stuff. We'll buy it right now for this. You're going to love Lance Loken. He's just a great guy. You're going to feel like he is a friend. I'm telling you, when this is all said and done, you're going to love the guy, as a matter. Most agents don't start marketing your home until after you sign the listing agreement, but Lance has started the marketing process even before. He meets his clients. He's gathering buyers as we speak to buy your home right away. They have more access to more buyers than anybody. They're the number one in Texas and number two in the world for Keller Williams. You're looking for that kind of agent. It's the Lance Loken Group. 281-861-4624, thelokengroup.com, the L-O-K-E-N group.com.